Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to start the show with an original called Fried Bananas. Fried Bananas.
Greetings and welcome, America. Good morning to all contiguous 48 states and Sirius XM satellite radio land and to all those listening around the world. I am Dr. Wilmer Leon, and for the next 3 hours, you're going inside the issues here on Sirius XM 126 Urban View. Due to COVID-19 protocols, this is new content recorded earlier in the week. It is still rhetoric-free talk radio. Again, good morning and a big shout out to my number one fan, Candace Pay, down in Richmond, Virginia, my number two fan, Penny Owen Sox, and my number three, Melanie Ballard. Ladies, as always, thank you for the support. Again, this is a new show, new content recorded earlier in the week. In spite of all the turmoil taking place in the U.S. right now, COVID-19 continues to ravage the country. Here are the updated numbers as of Wednesday, June 3rd. We now have 1.87 million confirmed cases, up by 20,073 from June 2nd. Fortunately, 421,000 people have recovered, and unfortunately, 108,000 people have passed, and that's up by 1,039 from June 2nd. One thing that is very interesting to me, the spark for the recent and ongoing protests in this country is the extrajudicial murder, if not lynching, of Mr. George Floyd by the Minneapolis police and the murder of an African-American medical worker, Breonna Taylor, in Louisville, Kentucky. A few nights ago in Richmond, Virginia, police officers were fired for the use of excessive force near the Robert E. Lee statue, of all things. In Atlanta, officers have been disciplined for excessive use of force, charged with excessive use of force, and fired as well. And in Louisville, the police chief has been fired. Let's get some insight into these events and some of these charges with my first guest. He's a graduate of Duke University and Rutgers University School of Law. He specializes in police brutality and wrongful death cases, with some of his high-profile casework covered by the New York Times, the Daily News, 1,010 Wins, and more. He's civil rights and liability attorney Richard Bell, Esquire. Attorney Bell, welcome to Inside the Issues.
Thank you for inviting me, Dr. Leon.
So there are three cases right now that I think are in the forefront of people's minds. The lynching of George Floyd in Hennepin County, Minnesota. The prosecutor announced charges of third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter against the fired Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. The three other officers are awaiting charges. We have in Louisville the murder of Breonna Taylor. The police there were issuing a no-knock warrant. Her boyfriend, thinking that they were being robbed, picks up a gun that he's licensed to own. He fires at police. The police wind up killing Ms. Taylor. And then finally, in Atlanta, six police officers, they're being charged after allegedly using excessive force at a protest. Six officers have been charged. Two have been fired. We can get into more detail about that. Let me just ask, put it to you this way. Your thoughts about what you're seeing, how these things are playing out right now. Let's start with George Floyd as it's going through its paces. A lot of folks think this is taking too long.
Okay, so let's go to George Floyd first. So this unspeakable tragedy, as you said, is going to play out like this in the legal system. First, we have the state criminal charges, which right now, surprisingly, are only against the officer with his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck. So, as you said, there's the third-degree murder, the second-degree manslaughter, and Those are charges obviously below a premeditated or intentional murder charge, most likely because the prosecutor wants to make sure that they can get a conviction. So that's the state criminal charges under Minnesota law. That obviously is going to proceed now. We are clearly missing three defendants here because there's an absolute duty to intervene, and not just intervene. One of the policemen obviously is holding down his legs, one's holding down his back, and the other is listening to the pleas of the crowd to stop. So hopefully we're going to get criminal charges against the other three. Once that happens, we then go to the federal civil rights action, and that's what the Justice Department is investigating with the FBI now, mm-hmm. and that's about the civil rights, his Fourth Amendment rights to unreasonable search and seizure, excessive force, and whether or not there was an intent by the policeman to use excessive force that resulted in his death. And then finally, you get to the kind of case that I would bring on behalf of a family. Obviously, they have attorneys in this case, the Floyd family, but it would be a federal civil rights action, and at least in my state, New York, it would be a regular wrongful death action as well.
If you could quickly explain why, and you did mention this, but all crimes have elements, and murder has, there are elements of murder, the intentional killing of a human being by another. But then under there, you've got other circumstances. Explain, other than his being a police officer, unless that is the only reason, why it's third degree murder and third degree manslaughter.
I think the reason in this case, I'm not a criminal lawyer, I would do the civil rights action, but my understanding of the charges here in Minnesota are that in order to go with the first degree, you have to show a premeditation mm-hmm. and an intent to kill. And I think what the prosecutor is saying by doing the third degree and the second degree, that we want a jury to convict here. If we present them with the highest premeditated charge and they say no, they might just say no to everything.
And also, is it that it's hard to convict a cop of first-degree murder?
Oh, Dr. Leon, it's virtually impossible.
There we go. There we go.
Just
across the board. Even though we have this man on video for 9 minutes, you know, and we know what we saw. It's hard to get particularly a white jury in Minnesota to convict a white cop killing a black man. That's
Dr. Lynn, you've said it. You've said it, and let's just say it out loud like you just said it. That's correct.
Okay. All right. And then second degree, I said third degree, but second degree manslaughter, is that kind of a fallback position?
Yeah, so that would be, you'd have to create an unreasonable risk that you consciously know you're taking a chance of causing death.
Okay,
so it's lesser. That's what the prosecutor so far is going for. He'd rather have lesser because on the third degree it's up to 25 years, and the second degree it's up to 10 years, so it could be very serious sentences if you can get the two convictions.
Got you, okay. And to your point about duty to intervene, a lot of folks don't realize that particularly in Minnesota, they changed their law to require, in fact, I have it here, it's section 5303-01A, is sworn employees have an obligation to protect the public and other employees. B, it shall be the duty of every sworn employee present at any scene where physical force is being applied to either stop or attempt to stop another sworn employee when force is being inappropriately applied or is no longer required. And so that's where Officer Tao, the Asian guy in the front, he could have tapped Chauvin and he tapped him out any time and said, hey, man, enough. Let's just put him in a car. Or the other two tapped him out. Hey, man,
absolutely.
Put him in the car. Let's get out of here.
In the criminal complaint, if you read the actual criminal complaint, there's a point where the prosecutor's office says that one of the cops turned to Chauvin and said, hey, should we put him on his side? And Chauvin says, no. Now he's lying prone. This is where the whole respiratory system is going down. and he's being held with his back and his legs. So you're absolutely correct. There is a legal duty to intervene, and obviously we have a moral duty, but let's talk about the law. There's an absolute duty to do something. They saw this man having the life choked out of him.
Now, how does qualified immunity for law enforcement factor into this?
Oh, there's a big issue, and it's actually an issue that the Supreme Court is was supposed to decide this week as to whether they're going to revisit it. We haven't decided yet. So here's what qualified immunity is. It goes to the civil lawsuit that the family will have, and that portion that is what's called a civil rights case, a Section 1983 case. And basically, qualified immunity was created by the Supreme Court, the late 60s, and enhanced in the early 80s, and they have a requirement that in order to hold that policeman for excessive force in a civil action, you have to show that he violated what's called a clearly established law. Simply and horribly, it means that basically you have to show that there was already a very similar case like yours that was decided in favor of the victim, otherwise you lose. And doesn't that sound crazy?
Oh man, that sucks. I mean, that sounds a lot.
That's good plain language. Yeah, it sucks.
Well, I try, but that sounds an awful lot like shifting the burden of proving discrimination over to the one who's been discriminated in terms of having to show intent and all of that other kind of stuff. The de facto versus the de jure conversation. You no longer can just show the facts that you've been discriminated against. It's now incumbent upon you as the aggrieved to have to show that not only did it happen, but they intended that it. I mean, it just, you're shifting the burden to the victim.
Yeah, Dr. Leon, that's a great analogy. Let me give you two quick cases where this has been invoked just so your audience can understand an example. So in Dallas, there were five police officers. They fired 17 shots at a bicyclist 100 yards away from them. He was killed. Turns out it was mistaken identity. The family brings a case. The court says, you know what? Maybe his Fourth Amendment rights were violated, but under qualified immunity, we can't find another case on these exact facts, so your case is dismissed. This is real. This is real.
So you get a one-off. You get, the first one's free.
Well, it's more than the first, actually, because it's like a catch-22. So how are you ever going to bring a case under those facts?
No, what I'm saying is you get to shoot the guy on the bicycle. He's the free one. The next time seven cops shoot a guy on a bicycle and they're wrong, oh, now we can sue.
Yeah, and Justice Sotomayor said it's shoot first, think later under this doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And in a case in Utah, the police stop a car for a cracked windshield. The officer ends up throwing an unarmed occupant of the car on the ground. He causes him brain damage. And case gets dismissed. The court says, you know, we can't find a case with similar facts. You know what's really going on here? The Supreme Court, who sets this law for all the federal courts, the Supreme Court has protected the policeman against victims in these kind of cases for over 40 years. And you might be interested, or your audience rather, I'm sure you know, but the history of this Section 1983 civil rights lawsuit, it actually comes from the 1871 Civil Rights Act that was enacted to prevent public officials from violating the constitutional rights of former slaves. So it was directly in terms of the intent to address what's happening 150 years later.
Wow. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wilmer Leon here inside the Issues is Where You Are, Sirius XM 126 Urban View. Attorney Richard Bell is my guest, and we're talking about some of the legal circumstances surrounding the Mr. George Floyd lynching, the murder of Breonna Taylor and others. You know, you just said something that I've been saying to people for a very long time. You mentioned that the Supreme Court has been finding in favor or working in favor of the police for over 40 years. And I've been saying to the audience that it's the Earl Warren era that subsequent courts have been overturning, because it's from Earl Warren We got the Miranda rights. We got the fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine. We got a number of things that were making it easier to protect you, making it easier to use the Constitution to protect citizens against the acts by the government. And subsequent courts have been working against that ever since. I'd like to get your take on that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, Lil Gil Scott Heron here. Winter in America, because it sure does seem, even though we're in June, that we're working here with winter in America. And nobody's fighting because nobody knows what to say. Dr. Wilmer Leon here. Inside the Issues is where you are. Keep it locked right here.
I want to rule a plane. Like the vultures circling beneath the dark clouds, looking for the rain. Looking for the rain. Just like the cities that stagger on the coastline.